in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6, and then I'm going to use it as a springboard. How many of you know what a springboard is? When I was growing up, my mom and daddy took me to the country club, and it didn't cost much to be a member where we was at. They hardly didn't even have any grass, but they did have a swimming pool. And they had a thing at one end called a diving board or a springboard. And all the little kids wondered how I could get so high up in the air on that thing. I told them, I said, if you just weigh a couple hundred more pounds than you do, it'll throw you way up in the air. So I want to use a verse in Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 6, and use it to springboard into our lesson tonight. The book of Philippians, chapter number 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, he that which have begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm glad that God he's got a work going on inside of you. I don't know if you know tonight, he didn't save you just to come to church, but he saved you to do a work. You see, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again on the third day, and seen of men 40 days, and then on the day of Pentecost, he arose into heaven. You know what he did? He left a work behind. And he's begun a work in each one of you and me. When he saved us, he didn't save us just to be sitting on the church pew. Can I get amen right there? Y'all with me tonight, ain't you? We here. We smiling. Praise the Lord. He didn't save us just to be here, but he saved us to do a work. I heard this term this week, and I've heard it I hadn't heard it in a long time. He said, being the hands and feet of Christ. I heard a man say that this week. And I thank God he's left us a ministry where we can operate and be the hands and feet of Christ, doing a work for the Lord and ever trusting in him to help us with it. But I want to look at something tonight. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Christ. And I want to look at something, a very important message in the day and hour in which we live. It's a message that our country, and not only our country, our world, needs to hear. It's a message about the birth of Christ. You see, there was there came a day that Mary got some news from the Archangel Gabriel. And it said that she was going to conceive and bring forth a son. And that son's name would be Jesus. You see, it's not season's greetings. You see, it's not happy holidays. And you see, it's not Merry Xmas. Let me tell you what it is. Merry Christmas. We live in a day and hour, and our generation that I live in has fallen fast away from Merry Christmas and going to the season's greeting and the happy holidays. But I'm here tonight to say it's Merry Christmas, and it's a time of joy and of peace and glad tidings and peace and goodwill toward men. And I'm glad tonight we can celebrate it because of what Christ has done, and not only on the cross, but through a manger. And I want to look at some points tonight. And if you have your Bible, I'll use that verse in Philippians to springboard into this. I want to look in Luke chapter number 1 and read, go over about four things tonight. And it'll be quick if you all do good. If you do good, I'll try to do good and we'll just call it good. But I want to look in the book of Luke tonight. And I've entitled this message, Birthing Christ. I want you to look into, you say, well, who would you use to show somebody that you was birthing Christ? Well, I'd go straight to the source. I'd go to Mary, wouldn't we? Mary was the one that God had chosen to bring forth the man, the Godchild, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Mike talked about him last week, and he read in the book of John, chapter number 1. He said he was Emmanuel, God with us. And I'm glad God is with us. No matter where I go, I got saved April 8, 1998. No matter where I go, I'm going to take the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad I've got that promise tonight that he said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And I'm glad that he will not ever leave us alone. But I want to look at this thought tonight, and hopefully I can put it in a manner that we can all understand, in birthing Christ. Because I want us to look at the life of Mary, and how Mary's life would look at each one of the believers' life, and how it would relate to each one of us. You see, Mary was just a normal servant of God. She was of Nazareth. She was not somebody that you would pick. It was not somebody that you would know. She was just an ordinary person with a big God that could do anything. I want to start reading, and I want to first of all look at the name of Christ. You'll see here in Luke chapter number 1. If I can find it in my Bible, I haven't got it all mixed up. In Luke chapter number 1, you'll find two names mentioned of Christ there. You'll find the word name Emmanuel, which means God's with us. But you also find another name. That name is Jesus. You say, what does that mean? The name Jesus is a very interesting term. Jesus means it's a salvation name. It's a name of redemption. And when somebody says the Lord Jesus, everybody in here knows that name because it's a name given. It's a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess because Jesus is Lord. And that's His salvation name. That's His redemption name. And at the name of Jesus, the devils will flee because of the power that is in that name. I'm glad tonight there's still power in the blood of Jesus, but there's power in the name of Jesus. I was reading after one man. This is what he said about the names of God. He said this very shortly. He said, there's majesty in the name of God. There's personality in the name of Jehovah. There's power in the name of the Lord. There's an unction in the name of Christ. There's affinity in the name Emmanuel. There's intercession in the name Mediator. There's help in the name Advocate. But there is salvation in no other name given among under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And you know what that name is tonight? That name is Jesus. And I'm glad tonight that He's able to save us from our sin. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18 says this, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That name Jesus is a redemptive name. It's a salvational name. It's a name that I knew as a young man, 18, 19, almost 20 years old, coming down to an altar, and I said, Jesus, save me. And that was enough to get me in tonight. The name of Jesus. Not only the name of Jesus, the nature of Jesus. You see, Jesus' nature is this. In Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 26, it says, for His high priest became us, who's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made above the angels. Let me tell you what. We know tonight Jesus has a nature, and His nature is holiness. Not only His nature, His newness. You see, I notice this. Jesus brings a new heart. He brings a new life. And He makes all things new. You say, well, I'm here tonight and I want to try something new. Let me tell you who can give you something new tonight. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, as we look in our text tonight, I want to say, first of all, we'll look at Mary. And we'll begin reading in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 26. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. I want to say, first of all, birth in Christ, you'll see the servant that was picked. And I want to preach this tonight as if we was Mary. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's something going on inside each one of us that God is performing a good work in us. And you know what that work is? It's us birthing Christ. We're birthing Christ to a lost and a dying world. You see, people don't know much about Jesus. But let me tell you what they'll see. They'll see you. And let me say, if they can see Jesus in you, then you can birth Christ to that world that's lost and dying. I remember my brother. I remember him going out and preaching. I remember being scared of him because he had something I didn't have. I can remember getting up in the middle of the night and going to the bathroom and he'd be laid in the floor praying. And I didn't know anything about it. I can remember him going and preaching down at the Walmart on the back of a truck. And I didn't know anything about it. I'm talking about a servant that was picked. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ would pick, God Himself would pick Mary to be the one that would bear the that would birth the God child into this world. Mary was undeserving. Anybody feel that way? Mary was unlikely. Mary was unusable. You say, why do you say that? We all know where Mary was from, don't we? Mary was from Nazareth, wasn't she? That's why they was heading back. We know that the decree came out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and everyone was to go back to their hometown so that they could make a census and be taxed for where they lived. And Mary was of Nazareth. And you might remember the story over in John chapter number 1, well, about Philip and Nathanael. And Philip said, Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Mary was from a place where there was unlikely and unusable people. People just ordinary, people common, people like me, that the God Himself would pick. Talking about the servant that was picked. It wasn't nobody special. It wasn't because she was rich. You think about it. God could have chose a lot better people than Mary to bear to birth the God child in this world, but He would not. He would use an ordinary, a common person, somebody that was undeserving, unholy, unlikely, and unusable, coming from a town that nobody said anything good could come out of. But old Philip, this is what he said when old Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. But I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ has servants that He picks. And I'm going to say this tonight. You may be here and you may be lost. You don't have to be. But I'm going to say for all you that are in here tonight and you're saved, God has handpicked you out just like He did the servant Mary, because she was a servant that He picked. Not only that, she was unlikely, undeserved. You say, what did God do for her? I want to say, first of all, she was pure. Look in verse number 27. The Bible says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. Mary was a pure woman. Mary tried to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. She kept herself pure. I'm glad tonight that we can keep ourselves pure. God gave that to Mary, the servant that was picked. She was pure. Not only that, she had His presence. Look in verse number 28. It said, and the angel said unto her, and hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. I'm glad tonight that the Lord walks with His servants. You see, you may be thinking you're serving in this thing all alone, but I've got some news for you tonight. God's presence is always with us. Sometimes we can't feel it, but that doesn't mean He's not there. My daddy told me this one time. He said, just because you don't see me doesn't mean I ain't there. And I thought that over and over. I'm glad tonight, God, just because you don't feel Him, or you may not can see Him as clearly as you once have, does not mean that He's not there. He's always there with His servants. His presence is always manifested where it's needed and where it's wanted. I remember times in the early churches of reading the book of Acts where the church was birthed into this world, where they was thirsting for God's presence. And I can tell you tonight what He did. He showed up. When a group of people, the Bible said, where two or three are gathered in My name, I am in the midst. He's in the midst of a people that wants Him. Mary wanted God in her presence, and she had Him because she was a servant that He picked. She was pure. She had His presence. Not only that, she had His favor. Look in verse number 30. It said, an angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Let me tell you what, she had the Lord's grace. That word, and Brother Randy, he brings us out better than I ever could every time he teaches about the Lord's favor. I'm glad tonight for the Lord's favor. He's carried you through life. And you not understanding, you may not know everything, but you know that God has done something special for you. She had His favor. Not only that, she was to be praised. When I say that, don't take that too far. It said, blessed art thou among women. That word blessed means to be praised. Let me tell you what, the Catholic Church has got this thing all wrong. She's not to be put above Christ. She was a servant that God picked, but she was not the Christ child. You think about this, of all the people that God would choose to bear His Son, God manifested in the flesh, the incarnated body of Christ, the servant that was picked. She picked just an old ordinary girl. One that was just trying to do the best she could, probably to make ends meet. Engaged to Joseph, just starting out in life. Didn't know anything about what was going to happen. But old Gabe came by one day and said, you're going to conceive and bring forth a son. Y'all going to call him Jesus. You say, what does that mean about all that? She was to be praised, but not to be put above Christ. You see, when we start putting emphasis on Mary was somebody that didn't want it. She would keep herself humble. in humble beginnings, her and Joseph. Joseph put her away privily so that nobody would pick on her or do anything. She was to be praised. Not only that, I'm talking about the servant that he picked. Can anybody agree with this next problem? She had problems. You say, what problems did Mary have? She's about to bear the God child. What kind of problems would she have? Look in verse number 29. It says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. What does that mean? It said that she cast in her mind. You know what she did? She reasoned. She feared. She doubted. Anybody here tonight? The servant. I'm talking about the servants that he's picked. I'm telling you, I can relate to what Mary is saying there. It says she cast it in her mind. You know what she did? She began to doubt. She began to fear. She began to think, what is Gabe trying to tell me that I'm going to have to do? And I'm telling you, as a servant of God, you may not always understand what's going on in your life. And let me say this tonight, you don't have to. God will show you on down the road. There's been things that's happened to me in my life that I couldn't tell you why they happened or even how they happened. But I tell you, there's things that God has so orchestrated and so planned out and so put in tune that when I look back, I can say it was only God that could have done that. And that's what He was doing with Mary. Mary was had problems just like you and I, talking about the servant that she picked. Not only that, the promise that she had. It said, thou shalt conceive. Mary was about to bear the promised child of God that every prophet in the Old Testament had prophesied about, one to come. And you think about this. Every Old Testament woman, you know what she had in her mind? Who would bear the Christ child? But it would fall onto an ordinary girl, just an ordinary servant, somebody that just wanted to please God. And God would pick that servant to bear His Son and be God manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, the salvation, the redemptive name of Christ, the servant that was picked. Not only the servant that was picked, you'll see secondly, there was a seed that was planted. Look down in verse number 35. Verse number 35 said this, and the angel answered her and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I'm glad tonight there was a seed planted. You say, what does it mean? Look at that word overshadow. That word overshadow means to cast shade upon. It also means to envelop in a haze of brilliancy. It also means this, it's supernatural. Let me tell you what had happened. God, when the power of the Holy Ghost had planted a seed inside of Mary, born of a virgin, fulfilling the prophecy of what Isaiah would say in Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 14, you'll find that there was a seed that was planted. And that seed was supernatural. It would be the birth of one to come. Can I put it down on our terms and application-wise? Do y'all remember when a seed was planted inside of you? You remember when somebody preached, somebody sang, somebody did something for Christ and it indwelled, and that seed began to become alive in your body. I remember my brother would take us every Tuesday night and he'd preach to us. We had an old pool table out in the barn, that old wood heater, and we'd get that thing, we had a window in there, we'd cut the window out and put that pipe out of the window and put a piece of sheet metal around it, and that thing would get so hot it'd start popping in there, it'd be so cold outside. But you know what he'd do? He'd get in there and he'd preach to some young boys. And that old seed that he was in there preaching about became planted in my body. And as it began, I didn't even know what was going on. And all the Sunday school lessons I'd ever heard, and all the preaching that I'd ever heard, and all the singing I'd ever heard, you know what that seed began to do? It began to sprout out. And you know what it became? It was a seed that was planted inside of me that God would use to save me later on in life. You say, what I do, just talking about a seed that was planted, what am I doing when I'm ministering? You know what you're doing? You're planting a seed. When you're going down to Walmart and you say, God bless you, you know what you're doing? You're planting a seed. When you come to church and you shake hands with the brethren and you come to church and you're faithful in what you do, you know what you're doing? You're planting a seed in some young person's life that you may not ever know. I can remember my earliest Sunday school teachers, what they taught. You know, and they didn't think they was doing anything, but let me tell you what they was doing. They was planting seed. I remember working with my granddaddy out in the field. He had a little garden behind his house, and we'd go out there and we'd plant that seed. You know what we was doing? We was wanting it to spring up one day. Let me tell you what, God has planted seeds in a lot of our hearts and it sprung up. You know what it did? It was a process of birthing Christ in us. The servant that was picked, the seed that was planted. I want to say thirdly, you'll see there was a season that was planned. Turn over in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 6. This is where we get into, a lot of times we read this on Christmas morning, where everyone was going back to their own city where they was born to be taxed. A decree came out from Caesar Augustus. It was a season that was planned. Look in verse number 6. It says, And so it was that while they were yet there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I want to say this, it was a season that was planned. You remember the season God used on you to get you where you are today? I can remember hard times in life and things I didn't ever think I'd ever make it out of. And God Himself had planned that season for me and He brought me through that. And I can tell you, if He's God back there, He'll be God up there as well. It's a season that was planned. I want to say, first of all, it had to be in the right place. You say the right place. They all had to go back to Bethlehem. You say, why? Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, said that He'd have to be born in Bethlehem. You say, why? Because He was of the city of David. He was of the lineage of David. He was a root of Jesse, the offspring of Jesse. He had to go back to Bethlehem. Let me say this, the devil would have loved for them to have to be broke down on the side of the road and never made it back to Bethlehem so that Mary could deliver this child. You say, why? Because He loved for the Bible to be wrong. He loved for the Old Testament prophecy to be wrong. He loved for it to destroy. Let me tell you what, that Bible is correct from cover to cover. And if He prophesied He'd be born in Bethlehem, let me tell you where Jesus would be born. He'd be born in Bethlehem. You see, it was in the right place. Not only that, it'd be in the right period. You see, it said there the days were accomplished and it'd be fulfilled. Not only would it be the right period, I want to say it'd be the right procedure. You see, Mary didn't abort her baby. She carried her baby. She made sure that seed, and she had all the reasons. I want to say this, she had all the reasons in the world to abort that baby. Mary didn't fully understand what was happening in her body. All she got was an announcement from an angel saying, "Thou shalt conceive a seed of the Holy Ghost inside of thee, in thy womb." And that's all she knew, and she went on that. And she trusted God with what He had given her. It was the right period and the right procedure. And Mary carried that baby. I want to say this. It was a season that was planned. I remember walking through life sometimes and didn't understand what all God was doing. But He had certain seasons. I thank Him that there's certain seasons that we go through. And there's only things that certain seasons will get you to in your Christian walk. God may have you in a troubled season right now. He may have you in a dry season. He may have you in a joyful season. But there's different seasons that we'll walk through in our Christian life. But I'm glad God has orchestrated them and He's planned those seasons out. And Mary didn't fully understand it when they went back. But they were sending her back to the city of David where He'd be born, because it was prophesied that He would be born there, the right place, the right period, and the right procedure. And lastly, I'll close with this. You see, it was the servant that was picked, the seed that was planted, the season that was planned. But lastly, I want to say this, the Savior that was presented. Look down in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room in the inn." And verse number 8 says this, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Verse number 15 says, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came in haste and found Mary and Joseph and babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they that which heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." I said it was a Savior that was presented. I can just see old Mary, all that stuff the Lord had done for her, the servant that He picked, the seed that was planted, the season that was planned, but lastly, the Savior that was presented. I can see old Mary as she birthed the Christ child, the Messiah of the world, Israel's King. and she'd hold him up, and she'd kiss the face of God. And as those shepherds came, they was watching over their flocks by night, and they saw that star, and they acted upon that light that was given them. She'd say, here's the child. Here's the child. And she presented that Savior. You say, what do you mean by all that? Each time a preacher preaches, you know what he's doing? He's birthing Christ. Each time a singer sings, he's birthing Christ. Each time a custodian cleans this church or cleans anything, and he does it in the name of the Lord, you know what he's doing? He's birthing Christ. He's presenting the Lord Savior to whoever he comes in contact. Every time you say something about the name of Jesus, you know what you're doing? You're presenting the Savior. I remember one time there was a girl that cut my wife's hair, and she didn't know what to call me. She said she knew I was a preacher, but she didn't know how to say he was a preacher. She said, he's an ambassador for Christ. And that's what I said. I don't even know how to say that myself. Preacher is easier than saying an ambassador. But I began to thinking about that. It was the greatest compliment I'd ever been played in all my life, was to hear that. And I felt about this tall. I mean, littler than the floor, up underneath the floor, when somebody said that. But I remember this. I remember when we first started college and they gave us an orientation class. And we went over to that college, and it was big. It was a big auditorium like this, a little bit bigger than this. And they sat us all down, and they brought a bunch of people up there from the college, and they began to look us all over. You know how that is, when kind of like what y'all doing me right now. But anyway, they was looking. We was all sitting out there, and they brought these people in, and they were called ambassadors. And we said, well, what are they going to do? They was all dressed in blazers and had nice slacks on and had all the smiles on. You know what they was doing? They began to tell us about orientation, and this is where you go, and that's where you go, and you go to this hall, and you go to that place. And we like, we don't even know how to get out of this building, much less go to another place. And anyway, they had those ambassadors. You know what they do? They take you around the school. And you know what they do? They stop here and say, this is where this is. And that's where that is. And this is how you do this. And this is how you fill out this paper. You know what they was doing? They was representing the school. But here, I'm here tonight to tell you this. Each time, we all know we're ambassadors for Christ. Everybody that's saved, guess what you are? You're an ambassador for Christ. You know what you ought to be doing? Each time you say something, you say, it's Him. I'm talking about the Savior that was presented. It's Him. It's Him over there. When you go into that church, it's Him. When you light up that Christmas tree on Christmas morning, guess what? It's Him. You see these presents up underneath the tree? It was Him. I'm talking about the Savior that was presented. You know, Mary, each time she looked around and she saw those shepherds coming, no doubt she said, it's Him. Old Gabe gave the announcement, said, Mary, you may not know what's all going on, but I want you to know what you want to do. I want you to present the Savior to everybody you see. You see, I'm here tonight to challenge you to represent the Savior well. Each time we go into any place, our jobs, our workplace, our homes, our schools, anywhere we go in the Walmart line, you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be representing Him well. Why? He's a Savior to be presented. You see, most people, the Bible, I read this after a man one time. He said this. He said, most people, the most Bible that a people will ever read is another person's life. And I remember when my brother, when he preached to us, and I began to see the stuff that was different in him and how I was living and how I was doing. And I didn't understand it all. You know what he was doing? He was being that ambassador for Christ. He was representing the Savior. And that little things that he'd done, little things that he said, and even what other people had done and what other people said, you know what it was? It was a seed that was planted inside of me. You say, why do I need to bring my children to church? There's going to be little things said down there, little seeds that are planted, that one day, you know what will happen to them? They'll sprout out. And that old Christ child inside of them will begin to be birthed out to a new generation. Talking about a servant that was picked, a seed that was planted, a season that was planned, but a Savior that was presented. I wonder tonight, church, would we represent Him well? You see, we got a God in heaven that's worthy to be served. And He's worthy to be praised of all we can do. And I challenge you tonight, as we go through this busiest season that we ever we'll ever see and ever have. It's not about the gifts. It's not about a tree. Not that tree. It's about a tree on Calvary one day where the Savior shed His blood. Let me tell you what, He's not on that cross anymore. He's not in some manger. Let me tell you what He's up. He's at the right hand of the Father. You know what He's doing? He's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And I'm glad tonight when we pray, we got a Savior that can hear us. And you know what? I want to run my race well. You say, why do you want to run your race well? I want to run my race well for the ones who went on before me. I want to run my race for the ones who are here with me. I want to run my race for the ones that are to come. You see, we're leaving this thing with another generation, and it's fading away. This thing of old-time salvation religion is leaving far off the scene. I want to represent the Savior well. I thank You for Your attention tonight.